After almost a year of ceding near complete control of New York to Governor Andrew Cuomo, the state Senate decided to do something about that. It's going to create a commission, a body of legislators to put a check on the governor's powers, which is almost like a legislature, but not quite.
The administration would give us information as it relates to what the directive is, and we would have an opportunity to say, you know, that sounds good based on the information, or that doesn't sound good.
Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins says the recent nursing home controversy is only one reason to curb Cuomo's powers. Another is that for far too long, lawmakers have been left in the dark about what the governor is doing.
The Senate could act as early as next week, though it's not clear yet how the state assembly will act. Cuomo's administration is facing two federal probes over the withholding of key data on the number of nursing home deaths. Cuomo is warning lawmakers not to take away his powers to make key public health decisions. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region.
Coming up, advocates push their plan for police reform on Long Island. New Haven voted that, yes, there is systematic racism, and we'll have more on the ever-growing scandal around nursing homes. I'm Charles Lane.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. Police reform advocates on Long Island published their own plan for overhauling the police. They are scheduled to present their proposals to both counties as officials work to comply with a state requirement to reimagine policing. The so-called People's Plan envisions large structural changes that may run into resistance from lawmakers.
The plan was drafted outside the official task forces Nassau and Suffolk counties created to change policing. It proposes halting pretextual stops, creating unarmed traffic enforcement, police inspector generals, civilian oversight of police misconduct, and ending police deployment in schools. Two new proposals that have been seldom discussed include requiring police officers to purchase their own liability insurance and creating a permanent task force, as organizer Terrell Dozier explains, would make ongoing suggestions for reform.
And some of the responsibilities of this task force would be to review data on key safety indicators, to solicit community feedback and dialogue.
At its core, reformers seek a fundamentally different type of policing. Shaniqua Levin is one of the organizers.
The current state of policing doesn't prevent crime, but merely provides a response to crime. We do not need more officers in communities. We need programs that uplift our people.
Suffolk has not yet said when it will release their reform plan, and little is available about its contents. Nassau Police submitted their official plan earlier this week that rejected many of the proposals in the People's Plan. Democrats in the Nassau County Legislature say they will propose amendments to the official police plan that may incorporate some of them.
New Haven, Connecticut's top governing body adopted a platform of dozens of recommendations to address systemic racism in the city. WSHU's Davis Donovan has more.
The city's Board of Aldermen declared racism a public health crisis after the police killing of George Floyd in Minnesota last summer. Daryl Brackeen Jr. is a New Haven alderman.
It literally took hundreds of years to get us to this point, to undo systematic racism within our government and city. And while it certainly won't take us that long to undo it, we want to ensure that we are taking the initial right steps to address racism as a public health issue head on.
The recommendations include diversity training for city staff and COVID-19 vaccine outreach in Black and brown communities. The platform would also push Yale New Haven Hospital's community benefits program to intentionally direct money toward predominantly neighborhoods of color. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Coming up, the details on curbing the governor, but first headlines and a message from C19 supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
The 7-day COVID-19 positivity rate in Connecticut is still hovering at 2.5%. A mass vaccination center will open Friday at Mohegan Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut.
On Long Island, the 7-day rate dipped to 4.4%, and the rest of New York remained steady at 3.7%. Governor Cuomo says indoor family dining venues can open on Friday at 25% capacity, and outdoor amusement parks will be allowed to open in late March. Temperature checks and face coverings are required. Cuomo says that he will look at summer camps next.
A Stamford, Connecticut high-rise condominium has removed former President Donald Trump's name from its branding. The Trump Park Stamford erased Trump's name from its front facade this week after its condo board voted unanimously to change the name. Residents fought for the name change since even before Trump was elected president. Trump is still legally part of the tower's name, but the condo board voted to remove his name after the January insurrection.
Suffolk County legislator Rudy Sutterman will resign his seat next month to become deputy director of the Suffolk County Fire Academy. Sutterman is a Republican who represents Shirley. He says his decision has nothing to do with a criminal case against him. Sutterman has pleaded not guilty to felony perjury charges for allegedly lying to the Suffolk County Board of Ethics about working two government jobs.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration now faces two federal probes over the withholding of key data on the number of nursing home deaths. The U.S. Justice Department has tried since August to examine the governor's coronavirus task force to determine whether the state intentionally manipulated nursing home data. Now, federal prosecutors in Brooklyn have become involved in the inquiry. A growing bipartisan group of lawmakers say Cuomo was wrong to withhold state data from them for months. Karen DeWitt reports the state Senate is poised to strip the governor of some of his emergency pandemic powers and add an oversight commission to review the decisions the governor makes.
The legislature gave Cuomo the powers nearly a year ago in early March of 2020, but now many say it's time to end them. Senator Alessandra Biaggi is the sponsor of a bill that would rescind the special authority granted to Cuomo. She says while it made sense to have one person making quick decisions in the chaotic early days of the pandemic, it's outlived its usefulness. And she says the long suppression of the nursing home data by the Cuomo administration shows why it's not always smart to have one branch of government controlling all the decisions.
There was just a lack of transparency, a lack of willingness to be accountable to the public, and frankly, a lack of caring about having honest data and metrics, which every single person in the public, not just the legislature, the entire population of New York deserves. And so if that is the way in which someone is going to use exceeded or excess powers, that is just not acceptable. It's not acceptable because it's not in the public's interest.
Biaggi says the governor would still hold more limited powers that are permitted during a declared state of emergency, but they are far less sweeping than the authority Cuomo now has. Biaggi's measure has the backing of more than a dozen progressive-leaning Democrats in the Senate, as well as all 20 Republicans. They are in the minority party there. Governor Cuomo defended the use of the emergency powers during a coronavirus briefing on February 15th. He says the legislature has always had the authority to overturn any one of his executive orders.
The legislature can reverse any action that I take, not even by a bill, just by passing 50% of the Assembly and the Senate. They have never reversed a single action.
Cuomo says he's had to oversee public health decisions that cannot be made by individual localities. Senate leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins is trying to work out a compromise measure. It would allow Cuomo to keep the powers while the pandemic continues, but a 10-member commission appointed by the legislature would have oversight over his decisions and 72 hours to stop them. Stewart-Cousins says her concerns and those of many other lawmakers go beyond the nursing home controversy. She says legislators are frustrated when they're asked by their constituents to explain rules on everything from school closures to color-coded restricted zones, and they don't have the answers.
all of the issues that are impacting our community. People are asking us for answers. Why is it an orange zone, not a red zone? Without the appropriate answers, it's impossible, really, to be the kind of representative you need to be, especially during these critical times.
Democrats in the state assembly have not committed to taking back the governor's powers. The sponsor of the bill there, Ron Kim, has said he was threatened by Cuomo and told his career would be destroyed if he did not stop his criticisms of the governor's nursing home policies, something a spokesman for Cuomo denies. Speaker Carl Hastie has remained neutral in the dispute between Cuomo and Kim, and his spokesman says in a statement that Democrats will meet in the coming days to discuss their options on what to do about the governor's powers. Republican State Party Chair Nick Langworthy says while he's glad that Democrats are increasingly supportive of the idea, it's too little, too late.
This should have been done a long time ago. That's a scapegoat, easy way out. These powers would sunset at the end of April anyway.
Langworthy is calling for the governor to resign or to be impeached. Republicans in the state assembly are proposing that an impeachment commission immediately be formed, but so far, no Democrats are backing that idea. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford Healthcare.
As always, you can send us your thoughts and story ideas to news@WSHU.org.
I'm Charles Lane.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll be back tomorrow. Thank you.